Hey guys, this episode is brought to you by Mindful Coffee Company. Mindful Coffee is a locally owned micro roaster who believes in fresh roasted coffee beans in every single cup. They offer a variety of single origin and blended coffee beans while hand roasting every single bag. You can place your order online and have it shipped directly to your home by going to www.mindfulcoffeecompany.com. When ordering Mindful Coffee, please use the coupon code PODCAST for 20% off your next order. That's right, 20% off your next order when using the code PODCAST. Trust us when we say this is a cup of joe you will crave every morning. Until the next coffee, my friends. Listening to the Taste Masters, where we delve into the world of craft beer, liquor, and other beverages. Hey guys, fun episode today. I'm sitting here with my co-host and honorary Taste Master, Dini. Dini, welcome to the show.
Well, it's a pleasure to have myself.
I mean, thanks. Thank you for having yourself.
Yes,
but we are, today's episode, we're going to talk about kind of debunking Utah myths and Utah liquor, like kind of quirky things we don't know about.
Yeah.
And then I want to talk about you and I's personal relationship with craft beer and how, like, our upbringing kind of shaped the way we are today.
And how we think about it and view it, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you look at about 20 years, I mean, that's far-fetched, but let's say 10 years ago, a decade ago, you and I weren't really in this scene at all.
Not even slightly.
And if you look at us now, it's completely changed, I feel like. It's almost like a 180. We still have friends and family that are, I hate to use this, but stuck in that train of thought of, like, their upbringing and their parents, right?
Yeah, it's bad. It's negative. It's looked upon poorly and frowned upon.
Right. And it's not saying that, you know, whatever friends and family are sticking with that generational vibe, cool. It is what it is. But you and I have kind of are part of that train of, like, we are trying to figure out, it's our life. It's our, we're here and we're going to somehow do the best we can, right?
Yes.
Let's just start off with opening a beer. So, I mean, I already opened this for you. I brought you one that I liked. I'm fascinated. Wyatt and I came across a Kona Brewing Company. That's out of Hawaii. So this is from Hawaii. I mean, it's made in the States. Well, made inland, but from Kona Brewing. This one's called the Gold Cliff IPA. Available year-round. It's supposed to be have real pineapple, tropical fruit aromas of mosaic and citra hops. Typical. And then a hint of smooth caramel malt. So there's a little cool story on this one. But in Lani, Hawaii, there's a cove where people can go snorkel and look at tropical fish below and jump off 70-foot cliffs. And this is what inspired the Gold Cliff IPA, right? So, I mean, you poured it, and I can smell it across the table, and it smells...
Yeah, it smells super tropical. I mean, looking at this beer, and maybe it's just because of the culture that we're in currently, I'm looking at this and going, oh, this is like a golden ale or something like that. This is not an IPA. I'm used to like a hazy, just super hazy, and this is super crystal clear and super golden. I'm like, huh.
Yeah, it is kind of clear. I mean, it's settled out. It's got a chill haze to it, but it's not, because like you said, nowadays, I feel like all IPAs are hazy.
Yeah.
Like, the haze train is just taking over at the moment, and it's funny that you said, I didn't know it was an IPA. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
I forget that IPAs can and were clear at one time, right?
100%. I looked at this and went, oh, this is a cool looking beer. And then I saw IPA. I'm like, no, that's wrong.
That's funny.
Yeah.
No, but pineapple on the nose, I like that.
That is nice. Super. Oh, yeah. Mm.
It's pineapple. Definitely mosaic in there. I can get that because I just made a smash mosaic. You know, smash is a single malt and single hop, and I use mosaic, and it tastes like that with a shit ton of pineapple, which is great. I mean, this is not bad. This is actually, even the aftertaste for me is I get pineapple. It comes back.
I like the aftertaste. I mean,
yeah.
If you've ever heard me on this podcast before and you have all those friends who have those stereotypical, either you love IPAs or you hate IPAs, and I've never been the biggest fan of IPAs. I can drink an IPA, but I'm not going to sit there and keep ordering it. But
right. This
for me is all right. It's very first taste was great. Second taste, I got a lot of hops, and then the aftertaste, I'm okay with. I am. Mm. I don't think this is going to linger. I don't think it's going to sit there and just like poison your mouth, but.
I mean, the bitterness is right in the front, but yes. Then it fades for sure. It's a little old, I could tell, a little degraded, but that's because we got one that was bottled in December. So
yes,
there's that, right? But still, I'm surprised the pineapple is not like a BOE pineapple for how old it is. And I'm impressed. Like you said, I would get this again if it was on tap or fresher, but I can see myself drinking this at the pool. This is a great summertime beer, IPA.
The picture by itself is literally a guy jumping off a cliff. So I 100% agree this is a summertime heat, the dead of the heat that we're experiencing now type situation.
Yeah, absolutely. So I came across this one of these articles in 2018. Excuse me, I am totally making that up right now. In last month, 2021, Jesus, June 16th, it's from Gastronomic SLC. And what it is, seven surprising Utah liquor quirks you didn't know about. And I looked into it. I'm not going to read every word for word or whatever. And I was surprised from some of the things on here, and I would like to like kind of... you know, go about it. So I don't know whether they can fact check us or if they are completely right. But it's got from a Stuart Milling is the guy who is the writer of this blog post, right? So he said that in Utah, here's something I didn't know. You can bring alcohol into the state, is what he says. He says a lot of people can, you know, like to go to our neighboring states and bring beer back into the state, you know, kind of like a bootlegging, if you will, right?
Right.
He's saying currently that you're allowed to bring up to 9 liters back into Utah.
Really?
At one time. Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. This was made, this post was a month ago. Yeah. Not even less than a month ago. Yeah. And so, I mean, I doubt he's just going to put that out there and, you know, blow smoke out of his ass. But I'm fascinated because I feel like neighboring states get a lot of Utah businesses.
Oh yeah, I mean we're right next to Colorado. Mesquite, mm-hmm. All those places—they're not that far. It's what, 4 hours, five? Right. You drive fast enough.
But how many times have we left Utah on our way to, like, you know, I've gone to Vegas. You guys have gone out of the state, and how many times have we stopped and got liquor just as soon as we get out of Utah? It's cheaper.
Almost all the time.
Yeah. So, I mean, last time I went to Vegas, I told you, hey, go to Lee's Discount and go ahead and get some, you know, a bunch of booze, or Costco and get some booze for us because, like, it's cheaper and this is pre-game before we go and pay up prices for bars. And
you're not going to go to Vegas and stock up on alcohol. You're going to go to list places outside because, I mean, the liquor bill, if you drink at a bar in Vegas, is going to be outrageous. I got a Bloody Mary there once. It charged me $25 for a Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, crap, just bring my own stuff next time.
Yeah, exactly. Or a pregame.
Yeah.
And then show up and be like, I'll have a beer or a cocktail or, you know, whatever, a shot maybe. So fascinating. I didn't know that. But I was looking back at it. Utah has this very niche, if you will, of being guarded. I feel like, especially Utah County. So you have Utah, Salt Lake County. I feel like Salt Lake County is 5 to 7 years ahead of Utah County. That's how I look at it. Utah County is still kind of
new to.
They just left the pioneer wagons behind, and they're just figuring out, oh, we can go ahead and you know, do cool things. If you look at Salt Lake vibe, there's a lot more people who are, you know, more accepting of other people. There's more tattooed people. There's more long haired people. There's more piercings. There's more. Just kind of be who you want to be, kind of
like
thing.
A diversity almost.
Yeah, I like that. Mm-hmm. And Utah County is kind of like still clean cut, clean shaven. You know, it's kind of like, and not that it's bad, not saying that at all. I'm just saying it's weird to see how just the point of the mountain literally changes the culture, and we're in the same state.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I work in places where you've worked in places where we've worked at Sundance before, and the clientele that we have at Sundance, that is, you know, 15 minutes up the canyon from Orem compared to going to a family restaurant. I mean, it's so weird in Utah where you can go all the way to like Pace in Utah compared to like Lehi, Utah, and just the different sides of the valley. You get like farmers and like, you know, that like very hometown culture on one side, and then you go up to these giant businesses where like Adobe and Podium and these giant, huge, multi-million dollar tech companies are. And you're just like, the transition of the two is literally night and day. And there's only like maybe four cities in between. You want to like put PG and Linden in the same category, maybe less, but it's not that far of a hop and a leap.
No, not at all. But it's fascinating to see how people are comfortable within their own environments, right? So the missus and I came back from Denver not too long ago, and I think Denver is about 5 to 10 years ahead of Salt Lake. I mean, it's pretty like, wow. I mean, they're pretty ahead, I feel like. They're pretty open. No one gave a shit out there. In terms of be who you want to be. If you want to be sober, drunk, loud, quiet, funny, like no one cared. Yeah. To the point where just be you. Just be respectful, though. Don't be an asshole. I feel like the golden rule shouldn't be do what, you know, whatever, do unto you. What you want. Others will understand. Just don't be an asshole.
Yeah, don't be an ass.
And don't be over the top asshole. Because I know I can have my moments where I'm upset. Everyone has those moments where you're upset, you're tired, excuses, and then, you know, I'm going to take my frustration out in a situation, or I just like, just leave me the fuck alone. People need to, Holly calls it, I need to recharge my battery.
Right.
And everyone has that. And the battery gets depleted, and you're just like, fuck off, everyone, right? But just take it out on people.
It's that social charge that you have that's kind of keeps you. I mean, I don't think I've ever gotten annoyed to a degree where I've had such a bad day where I'm just going to be like an asshole to a total stranger. To me, that's foreign. But if there's like somebody who's kind of just kind of poking more than they should, I get that. It's one of those things where like, okay, y'all got to calm down. Mm. But I don't think I could ever publicly just be a dick.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, I can't see you being a dick when it comes to that situation.
But it's just, who cares? Your happiness, your whatever, isn't my business. And I don't have enough time. I don't have enough energy to really give a crap about what makes you happy as long as it's not hurting anyone.
Right. And I think if you look at Utah County, I don't know what it is, but I feel like it's almost hoity-toity to the fact that if you're not with me, you're kind of against me in the sense of I feel judged when I'm in Utah County sometimes. I have ear piercings. I have tattoos. I have long hair. My wife, the same. And I feel like we walk around and you're almost looked at like, okay, so where's the rodeo? Where's the clown shop? Like, I don't know. But if I go to Salt Lake, it's like, oh,
yeah,
but I don't know why that's a thing. I mean, it's not like as
I don't know.
I don't know either. But it's fascinating because you and I came from this area.
Yes,
you and I are. I guess most of our lives have been from Utah County
or Utah,
and we've seen how it's developed. It's grown. I think
it's exploded.
It has exploded. There's a lot of people here now, and I feel like we have become more advanced now than I thought we'd always be like stuck in the whole bubble shelter, like nothing would ever happen. But I'm very surprised on how far Utah County specifically has come in my mind now than I thought would happen 10 years ago. I'm like, there's no way Utah's gonna be cool.
I mean, it might be that acceptance thing where it's like Utah, I mean, the history behind it, it's kind of it built itself type situation where you got the pioneers and all that. But I think with a larger city like Salt Lake, you know, because it's on the map, yada, 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 you get a lot more diverse people where Utah Valley have a lot of families who have been around for a long time compared to other locations where you get more people coming. Now, I think with BYU and UVU, that's kind of one of those things that are disrupting that, like, amount of people who were born and bred here. You get all those students coming in, and BYU has its standards, which it, you know, holds to a T, but with UVU and some of the other schools around here, they're kind of free game with who you are and how you look. So my opinion.
What's one of the beers that kind of a style of beer that you've never tried that you came across and you're like, I'm going to try that, and it kind of not necessarily blew your mind, but kind of was like, huh, okay, this is different. I mean, I don't hate it, but I don't love it. But this is different. This is new.
You've opened my eyes to IPAs. I've definitely tried IPAs. I'll be honest. I might offend some people, but I don't like cutthroat. I don't know why. It's never been my cup of tea or pint of beer.
Cup of tea, pint of beer.
Pint of beer. But I had one guy who I met working at one of those resorts that I worked at. And I was tending bar at the time, and he's sitting there going on about, he traveled a lot. And he's like, with me traveling a lot, I've been able to try a lot of different beers. One thing that surprised me in Utah is that your DABC actually can have a good selection. And he told me about a black Hefeweizen, because I like Hefeweizens.
Interesting.
So he told me this story about a black Hefeweizen that I can go to a local DABC store and I can pick up. And it was made by some monks in Germany. And he started to tell me this huge story about how they made it and everything. And I can't repeat it to you because that was probably over 8 years ago. But it was fascinating that just some random guy knew something about a Utah beer, not born and raised. He was just there for business, but he's so familiarized with what he liked to drink that he would go out to our own liquor stores and educate himself. So sure enough, I pulled one of those off the shelf the last time I was in there, and I tried, and it was surprisingly really good.
Fascinating. Yeah. I wish you'd remember that beer because I would like to try it.
I know the picture and I know the bottle.
Interesting. We have to Google that, figure that out. So speaking of which, you kind of said something about monks and Trappist kind of stuff. Weird, right? Funny you say that because I brought you one. From TF Brewing. So obviously, you know I love TF Brewing, what Templin's doing over there. Great stuff. They have one called the Albion, which is the Tripel or Triple, Belgian style ale. Why and I have tried this before. We've been gifted this a couple times. It is a 10.2, so it is kind of strong, but it's a triple. Right. So you have, you know, doubles, triples. And the history of this one, it was deep rooted in the Middle Ages. So it's actually has a Trappist name. So it's kind of funny because I think it was like the 19th, but this was Hendrick something in a brewery wanted a strong golden ale that will hold its own, right, in Europe. I'm gonna look this up real quick. Let's see. Then 1932, here we go, guys. 1932, it was released. He released it under the name Witkap Patter. And what it is it was marked as an L under the Trappist name, perhaps basing his right on some consulting that he had done for the brewing monks in Westmalle Abbey. So, this, I mean, why is the one that taught me that, you know, a lot of these Trappist-style L's can only be called Trappist-styles if they're like from actual monasteries, from monks.
The whole champagne thing.
Like, yeah, right. But there's, you know, certain characteristics of it. So, basically, when you get a Belgian beer, you get that typical the clove, a little spiciness, some esters. Like, you're always gonna get fruity esters on a Belgian. So I haven't had this one for a while, but again, TF, great things. It's Salt Lake, and right there, dude, you can
smells good.
What does it smell like to you?
I can tell you what it reminds me of. Like, it reminds me of kind of hiking through. There was a field that we used to hike through a bunch, and it kind of reminds me of like an outdoorsy Utah field.
Interesting. I like that.
It's a weird connection, I know, but that's what I'm immediately getting.
See, I get that light malt, little spiciness. It's like almost peppery.
You can get the spice off the nose really quick.
I feel like I'm smelling more malt than you get the banana right there.
Absolutely.
But I'm curious. This is dangerous.
That is dangerous. That's 10.
10.2.
10.2.
Clear. You see that?
Yeah. That looks like the IPA we just tried.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, the appearance is great. Almost looks exactly like
the IPA. Yeah, the yellowish gold.
Yeah.
But it's light. I like that. It's sexy and like, I mean, not head's not really there, but it's, I mean.
No, that's good, especially for like the 10.2. That's really good. I can see how you say this is dangerous.
I feel like I get some corn, like that malt. I'm trying to dig in that malt. I mean, I like this. I mean, again, dangerous, dude.
I get the clove. I don't want to say rye, but I want to.
I think you're confusing that with spice.
Spice, thank you.
Yeah. But I like that because I mean, I'm glad it's not heavy on the phenolic banana. I don't like banana.
No.
I mean, you can kind of get a phenolic taste, but it's not banana. It's not. It's like, I think if I can taste a beer and it has like banana Laffy Taffy, and I don't like that. I really don't. But this one's pretty, the mouthfeel, it's got a nice creamy, like a slight creaminess to it.
Yeah, we've had banana beers before and we've never liked them.
No. I had a banana nut bread beer in Florida once and I actually liked it.
Was it more nutty or more banana? Or just a happy mixture?
It was a happy mixture of a banana nut bread. Imagine a banana nut bread in a drink, and that's what it was.
I love
banana bread. Fascinating, huh?
I love banana
bread. No, but TF, I mean, we're gonna get Kevin Templin on here, and we're gonna talk. Why the fuck are you so good at what you do? You know, and I mean, fuck TF for being so good. That's all I gotta say. It's dangerous, huh?
That is dangerous.
It's so smooth. Like, it's easy.
I'm sipping on it. I'm like, oh yeah, this is ideally not normally Utah beer, but here we are.
It's got, it's a little hot, like a little, the ABV's right there, but I feel like everything that's going on right there kind of covers that, if you will.
No, it's a happy mixture.
It's not off-putting. I wouldn't call this a triple, but because that's how easy it is, dude. Yeah,
there's nothing in this beer that kind of stabs you in the mouth. Like, there's nothing that speaks out to me in the sense of overly done. Mm. It's very well blended in a sense.
I like this.
Like even the mouthfeel with it being a 10.2 is.
Would you get this again?
Yeah.
Would you have a pint of that? Would you order the pint of this at TF?
Yeah.
What would you pair this with? I'm curious.
I would pair this with. Mm-hmm. I mean, what do they serve at TF?
They have a lot of taco trucks at TF.
I was gonna think tacos, but I just had Mexican like an hour ago. So.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, I know we just said this, and it's probably because it's like a. Not a Freudian slip. That's not what I'm trying to get at. But banana nut bread. I think nice, warm banana nut bread out of the oven. Chase it down with this.
Okay. A little bit more desserty, yeah.
Right. Am I wrong saying that?
No, I live right next to a Kneaders, and sometimes I drive by and go like, I want the nut bread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I'm not a huge pie person, but a banana cream pie.
I'd say cherry.
Really? Ooh.
Yeah. Like you know those like black cherry pies. It's not rhubarb, but there's like a dark
currant.
Yeah,
black currant.
Yeah,
interesting. Yeah, I can see that. I'm trying to think of like a hearty meal I'd pair this with. I'm not sure what it is.
I don't know if this is for me something hearty. I think it's lighter than what I would want a hearty meal with. Because when I think hearty meals, I think like porters and stouts and whatnot. But this could go with a few things.
I don't know. I feel like I need like a I'm trying to think of what cheese I can pair this with. I don't know. Cause I like pairing beers with cheese and it's got me. I don't know.
I could say like a Wensleydale.
I think you're just pulling that out of your ass. I think you just think of a coolest name and you just pull it out of your ass.
No. Like a blueberry Wensleydale, like a nice
blueberry Wensleydale.
Look it up.
Man, you go to Harmon's a lot, don't you?
I love Harmon's.
Wow. Okay, I got you.
Get like a nice Dill Havarti. Ooh.
I was thinking like some type of creamy, stinky cheese.
Oh, like a brie? Or do you mean like more of like the blue side of cheese?
I don't know. Like, I don't know, some type of cream. I don't know. Some type of brie cream. I don't know.
Yeah.
More like kind of melts in at room temperature kind That's of cream.
It's kind of like a brie, yeah.
Anyway, so going off this is made in our hometown. I mean like Utah. And what fascinates me is I want to ask you, if you can go back 10 years from now and say, Deanie, listen, A, B, C, D about craft beer, what would you tell yourself?
Well, I distinctly remember us growing up thinking and calling beer piss water.
Horse piss.
Horse piss, crest. Mm-hmm. Yeah, horse piss. Whenever there's that stereotypical, like, I want a Bud Light, you know, type situation, and you working right in the industry and me being familiar. You get those people walk in and they're very one trick pony. And there was no craft to me. There was just, it's a different name with a different label. I don't even know what anything from a lager to a seltzer to a porter is. You know, they're just different shades. I'm assuming they're different flavors. I didn't even know you could do flavors at all. When you came here and you're dropping a pineapple beer in front of me right now, I'd be like, so is there pineapple in the beer? Is it juice? Do they alcohol the juice? Did they ferment a pineapple? How does this work?
Right.
You know, and the whole brewing process behind it and how you actually get the flavors and to blow through. One of the things that you guys do is you do like the firkins and stuff where you can then add stuff after the fact. But that's completely different to actually getting the notes and not having anything that's overpowering. And that, to me, is the most fascinating thing because you could have more fun with beer, it feels like, than a lot of other things. I mean, let's talk about like the soda industry and how many different types of flavors of Mountain Dew there are compared to craft beer.
I gave up counting on that, but
you can do so much more, it seems like, and there's so much more people are coming out with where it's not that it's just so diverse now. I mean, back then, if we went back 10 years ago, I would probably just be like, okay, like I get it, dude, but you're just going to have to sit around and wait for somebody to open a brewery here. There's not a lot going on. You can go over to Chili's and hope they have something from Uinta or Wasatch.
Right.
But Utah's going to explode. They're going to explode with breweries. I mean, how many of these beers do we try on here that are local?
Yeah. I mean, you're going to try three out of four.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fascinating. Because I see, I mean, to ask myself that same question in a way, if I could go back and talk to myself, be like, hey, don't diss what you don't know.
Yeah.
Because I think what we say in the podcast a lot is when knowledge increases, behavior changes. And I think there's so much to it. I think it's ridiculous how once I surrender to the fact I don't know everything, because I mean, I've said multiple times on here, late teens, early 20s, I was the bee's knees. I thought I knew everything. I was God's gift, just like most, late teens, early 20s.
I'm ready for life.
Right. And I'm like, dude, I don't know. And like, I feel like I ruined relationships that could have been awesome because of like how I was so one path in my thinking.
Mm.
And now I'm like, it goes back to when we first started at the beginning of the episode, like, just don't be an asshole. But at the same time, don't be an asshole, but be understanding and try to put yourself, as cliche as it sounds, in their shoes. Because you look at it, my close five, let's just say, the closest five in my life,
okay,
are maybe not going to be the same. For a fact, it's not going to be the same closest five in your life. That's just what's going to happen, mm-hmm. right? So you got to think about it. Everyone has their close five. Everyone has their own stressors. Everyone has their own shit they have to deal with. Everyone has their own bad day. Everyone has their own, woe is me, this is the hardest life ever. No one can live this kind of life. Everyone's right. had those kind of moments.
Well, five is a good number. I mean, I remember growing up and I'm getting my first cell phone. And it was that T-Mobile MyFive. Because it's like you have five people in your life you really care about, yeah. and you have unlimited text and phone call because you have, like, it's premeditated that there's only so many people you can really stay in contact with. Oh, don't get me wrong, I know tons of people and I want to, be part of their lives to a degree, but there's only so many people that you can really stay truly connected with. And I think one thing that would make that easier for everyone is just not being an asshole. I mean, heaven forbid you meet somebody randomly at the grocery store. I tell you a story about a guy who told me about a beer made by monks. There's all these interesting people out here that have their own stories. I mean, how many people we had the other day? I didn't know that much about juggling. And I'm just like, my gosh.
Right. But then that Brent, when we brought him on, he has a story.
He has his own story.
Everyone. And like, you're sitting here and this, I mean, I feel like I've been trying really hard to incorporate this platform, not about me, but about someone being listened to.
Right.
Specifically these craft artists in this industry. I mean, I have been blessed to interview some cool motherfucking people in Utah. And they're in Utah,
yeah.
right? And I'm sitting here going, what the hell?
Like, why are you here?
Yeah, well, not just that, but I'm like, I can't believe that someone like you can be in somewhere like, because Utah has that bad neck of like, oh, Utah sucks. Utah,
yeah,
more than this, more than that. And it's like, I don't give a shit. Like,
no.
My favorite was when we were in Denver, everyone was like, the first question out of their mouth was, oh, you're Mormon. And then we're like, no, I mean, no. But then they're like, oh, it doesn't matter. We're just wondering, right? Yeah. And they didn't care what you were or where you came from. They just were curious. Like, that's, it's like, hey, how you doing? I haven't seen you. How's the wife? Like, it's one of those, like, you kind of just say it. It's just automatic and whatever. But it goes back to don't be an asshole. Mm-hmm. Like, this episode should be titled, don't be an asshole.
Don't be an asshole. Just be chill. Don't be an asshole. I think that's pretty spot on. I mean, it does. I mean, regardless of who actually lives here, there is a stereotype where I've been out of the state before. I remember I was either my honeymoon or I took a vacation, and we ran into people who were from, I want to say, Maine. And we were not in Utah. I think I was in Mexico at the time. And they were like, oh, you guys are from Utah? And we're like, yeah, we're from Utah. And you're like, really? You seem kind of normal. Like,
right.
Were you expecting us to have ears and a tail? Like, what do you mean we seem kind of normal? And they're like, well, we just heard that, people from Utah are off. Like, no, we're friendly. Like, we're 100% friendly. There is a more apparent, like, how are you neighbor in Utah Valley? I will absolutely say that. People are nicer in Utah Valley. where you go out of this area and you run into people who won't even like open a door for you, where that for us, that's just common courtesy.
Right. But again, I feel like common sense or common courtesy is no longer
less common.
Common, it's more uncommon, right?
There you go.
But I think coming from here has really opened my eyes to see. I mean, I keep telling Holly this all the time. It's like, wow, I got to meet someone so cool, and I got to let go of my pride to listen to someone and understand that it's okay. At the end of the day, it's okay. You may have those hard days, those rough moments in life, but it's okay, right? And the best part about it is, even you, like, let's say, hey, Danny, you having a bad day? Let's go tie one off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we can have a beer, and in front of beer, we can sit there and just kind of just, maybe it's the alcohol helping, kind of break those walls or kind of like let those worries go away. But we can sit there in front of a beer and be like, ugh.
Yeah.
Right. And we've had those, like, you've had hard times, I've had hard times. Like, can we just drink? And like, maybe one of us drinks too much, or we both drink too much. Or, and it's like, well, he's really hurting, but yeah. I'm here to support it and listen to it. And it's that I wish I can, like, somehow, you know, in Harry Potter, when Dumbledore gets like the memories and pulls it out of his head and puts it in the little jars or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah.
I wish I can get that. You memory, can, that feeling.
It's kind of like, it really is what you said, in putting yourself in someone else's shoes. That's kind of what I think you're getting at, is sitting down with a beer in front of somebody and just kind of talking it out is almost the extent of you guys sharing a life experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether it be a memory, good or bad, or, you know, sometimes you just need a vent, it's really just connecting with another person. And yeah. I think that's one thing, whether or not you know them for, you know, 20 years plus, or you've sat there with them in front of, you know, some random bartender for 10 minutes.
Right. But I also think going off of that is we're all in this together.
Yeah.
We really are. And once you put yourself, not listen to your life for a second, to listen to someone else's, is a very selfless love. And I truly believe, personally, this is the Book of David, that love is probably one of the most powerful powers out there. It is. And that, to me, taking my time out of my super busy time, busy day, busy life, and truly listening to someone over a beer is what's like, that's selfless love.
Yeah. And we've done that multiple times, regardless of, we've known each other for years, and you know, sometimes we're swapping stories that we've told each other countless times, but it's just nice to reminisce. But
yeah,
it's one of those things where it just brings people together, and it can. Yeah. And I mean, even if it's not a beer, just be with other people.
And sometimes, yeah, it's not even drinking to get drunk, or sometimes we just grab a beer and watch, like, lose ourselves watching a game or people watch. It's like not even, you know, it's like not talking about life. It's just kind of like, get the fuck away, or just right?
Right.
So anyway, speaking of getting away, we're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to hit the restroom. Hope you don't mind.
No,
I've had it. So we'll be right back. Taste Masters is brought to you by Hopkins Brewing Company. By using the code TASTEMASTERS, you'll receive 10% off your ticket upon checking out. Food only. But guys, it's badass food. They have chicken sandwiches, Thai wings, poutine. They have brunch every Saturday, Sunday. The food is fantastic. One of the best in town. Again, use the code TASTEMASTERS upon checking out. 10% off your entire ticket, minus the alcohol. Guys, let's keep it local by supporting local. This episode's also brought to you by you, if you wanted to be. We are looking for sponsors and would love to have you as part of our team. Feel free to email us for details at thetastemastersdrink@gmail.com or DM us through all social media platforms. Hey guys, it's David here. We are starting a Patreon, which is kind of like a tip jar, but digital. Basically what it does is it helps enhance the content of our podcast. If you like what you hear, want to help us out, go ahead and head to www.patreon.com/tastemasters and subscribe. Anything will help. All right, Denise, so we're back about, you know, trying to talk about different things in Utah, right? We're trying to go over what's happening in Utah and the fact in our minds, like it's different, it's changed. And during the break, you brought up a good comment about the alcohol. What was it about the alcohol?
I just was interested a little bit more about the bringing alcohol into the States, because again, I worked at Sundance and I worked at some places where you get like the rich people, and some of those people own their own homes and stuff like that in this area, you know, those rich people on the hill type situation, where, you know, talking to them for whatever reason in long stints, they would tell you stories about how, like, I knew a guy who his brother was basically a bootlegger who would drive out to this little farm in the middle of, I want to say, Wyoming. I could be dead wrong because I am. It's sure. Just somewhere. He would drive like across states. He would fill his entire car up with some special wine that this guy drank, and he would stock his cellar for like every other year.
Hmm.
And he would just have this one wine because he didn't want to go through the DABC. So
looking back, I mean, the research I've been trying to do into that is the DABC states, okay, this is from the DABC. Only the Utah DABC, which is the Department of Alcohol Beverage Control, my favorite people, may lawfully have liquor products imported and shipped into Utah. Private individuals may not lawfully import or transport them into the state. Now, there's a few exceptions to this law. Like, there's loopholes for every fucking law, I feel like. A person coming from a foreign country who clears U.S. customs in Utah may possess, for personal consumption, 2 liters of liquor purchased outside of Utah. Okay. Also, a person who moves his or her permanent residence to Utah or maintains separate residences both in and out of Utah may possess for personal consumption and not for sale or resale liquor purchased outside of Utah.
So if I went up to like Canada and I bought 2.5 liters of something and brought it back to Utah, that would be bad. But they don't like check my bag or anything.
I don't know, dude.
Yeah.
This is weird. But again, DABC. I want to meet someone from DABC and be like, why are you so complicated? Why? Why? I really want to meet someone from the DABC. That's what I'm going to do. My new goal this year, or by the end, not this year, I'm pushing it,
yeah,
is I'm going to meet someone from the DABC and I'm going to sit down and be like, why? I feel like it's all LDS driven. I feel like it's all we hate alcohol driven. Because, for example, Strapnik and Lehigh is made to bottle and can beer, cannot, because the city of Lehigh does not like us to, does not want us to. Fascinating, super fascinating. But how can they trump the DABC? And the DABC clearly states you can.
Not a lot of communication.
Again, why? Why is there broken communication? But if a pharmaceutical company wants to make money off of a new drug, we push that like it's...
It is a hot pancake for them. Hey, look what we did. You don't sneeze outside or you're less sad, one of the two.
Man, I don't understand this. Anyway, so going off that weird topic, I want to go I have a beer in front of you that I have not had from a certain brewery, which is, if you will, Dini, Vernal Brewing, which is on the far east end of Utah, right? Vernal Brewing Company, I brought you something called
Mama's Milk,
which is an Imperial Milk Stout. So go ahead after you get a little pour. I want to see what's on the can. It's interesting. It's got like a map. It's got some chick holding a jug of Vernal Milk.
Yeah, it says VB, which I'm assuming stands for Vernal Brewing Company. Mm-hmm. And it has Mama's Milk, and it looks like a lady in like one of those old dresses, like I guess a milkmaid dress.
Sure.
And then it says Imperial Milk Stout. It's actually pretty straightforward. This looks like the map is kind of hard to tell because there's no major like verbiage on it, but I think that's there's something called Molly's Nipple.
What?
Yeah.
You said Molly's Nipple?
Molly's Nipple. That's one of the only landmarks that I see on here. On the can, yeah, right here. Right by the big old...
Holy shit, by the
Molly's
river.
Molly's Nipple.
Is that Snake River? What's that river?
It might be the Snake River, the Green River. The Green River's up around that area, I think. It's
Molly's Nipple. They snuck that in there.
Probably.
Well done, Vernal Brewing Company. So, I haven't had this. I don't know. Have you had anything from them?
Not that I think. I don't think so. I don't get up to Vernal very often.
I smell hella barley on that fucking nose. Interesting. I don't know whose mom's milk that is, but...
Wow.
okay. Okay. There it is. A little espresso-y, a little chocolatey.
I like the espresso on the end.
Yeah. But for me, I don't know if it's because of the beers we drank earlier, but like it burned at the very beginning. And what's the ABV on this one?
8.5. That's sweet.
It's got that roasty bite, though.
Yeah.
It's weird to me. And then espresso, like hella espresso.
Yeah.
It is sweet. Don't get me wrong. It's like a vanilla sweetness.
Yeah.
Not bad. I feel like I'm saying this is dog shit. No. I'm trying to figure out.
So Mama's Milk, their tagline on this is you won't be able to keep your hands off these cans, so come to Mama.
Wow.
The notes are sweet, chocolatey, coffee, nutty, velvety, vanilla, roasty, malt. Mm. Pairings with game meats, shellfish, pancakes.
I could see pancakes for 100%. Sure. Shellfish, though, I would say absolutely not.
An aged cheddar.
Okay. I go see, back to cheddar.
Yeah,
see?
I could see aged cheddar, and I could absolutely see pancakes.
Okay,
like,
here we go.
I know that we've did an episode on like breakfast type beers, but this and pancakes, like if you go to IHOP and they ever sold beer.
Oh, yeah. I would be in your Super Smash at 2 a.m. Yeah, I would be in trouble. That's for sure. No, but I'm a fan of this. Obviously different.
Yeah. Barley, hops, cocoa nibs, coffee, vanilla beans, water, and yeast. Those are ingredients.
Interesting. So I'm on the Verno Brewing website, and they have a hashtag drunk dino challenge. Take a picture of you feeding our local dinos with some Verno Brewing beer, and you could be featured on a website and social media pages. So we now have to go to Verno, which is about a 3-hour drive from here.
Yeah.
And we need to take a picture with the drunk dino.
Done.
And I think we should put Mama's Milk in it, obviously.
100%.
Cans of Mama's Milk. What do you think about this? Is this one of your favorite milk stouts, or what's your thoughts on this one, Jimmy?
I like this. I absolutely like this. I love coffee in my beer. Love it. This sells me immediately. Like, this is my comfort zone. This is my everyday beer. Like, I think I've already talked about it once or twice, but I'm weird as I pour myself more of it. I like I like dark beers any time of the year. I do. Like, at the pool. I mean, we used to drink Guinness at the pool, for crying out loud. So
still do.
Yeah, 100%. Won't stop ever doing that. But I love dark beers. So this is absolutely, like, very familiar and very welcoming to me.
Hmm. Well, good. I like that. I'm glad I can give you something that you liked. But, I feel like Vernal is kind of like, it's underrated like Palisade Kings is in Cedar City, where it's just too fucking far from people. Because it's not Utah County or Salt Lake County.
Yeah.
Because Ogden, I mean, we still got good shit coming from Ogden.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like stone's throw from Salt Lake, right? But Vernal and Palisade Kings, they're fucking 3.5+ hours away from us.
Speaking of that, I mean, the Utah beer, which one did you have me try the other day?
The Mandarin Kolsch. Mandarina Kolsch.
I like that one.
Yeah. Shout out to the old Utah again. I feel like I give my boys the Utah shout out all the time, because I think they're one of my favorite breweries up there.
They're good. That was a good beer.
Yeah. Damn them for making good beers, like I say. And they have good palates up there. No, but again, coming from Utah, I can truly say Utah has good beer. Because I remember going to Denver and being like, I have to go try certain award-winning breweries in Denver, and their beer was fucking fantastic. I went to one that is world-renowned, and I liked one of their beers.
Really?
Yeah. And the rest of them were like, I don't know if it was just me, Bad Batch, old beer, I'm not sure. But I'm like, I don't know where this award-winning, but this one right here, they had a slow pour pills, and I'm like, this is fucking fantastic. Fantastic, right? Utah has great shit, and this upcoming GABF and other competitions that we have entered, if Utah does not walk away with at least 3 to 5 medals, I'll be very disappointed.
I mean, I don't think I've told this story since on the podcast, but you and I have been to Vegas recently, and we went with some friends of ours, and I went a few days earlier, and I had dinner with my wife, and I ordered a local Vegas beer. I don't know if it was local in the sense of Vegas or just Nevada, one of the two, but I was like, oh, this is a local beer.
I'm gonna give it a shot.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
And it was a lager, and to me, it was like hop water. It was just something that was not my cup of tea.
Interesting. Pint of beer.
Oh, pint. Excuse me. take that back. Pint of beer. It was not my pint of beer.
Right.
It was definitely like I'm not you know, familiar with what's preferred out there, and if there's a different culture. I mean, it's Vegas. There's absolutely a different culture, but comparing that to what I've had here and in front of me, I think we have good beer. I really do. It might be different. It might not be that high percentage that people are accustomed to. I know that we get a lot of people from out of state, and there was a whole thing like way back in the Olympics and yada, yada, yada. And up to like 2 years ago.
Okay.
I kind of, COVID makes everything hazy, but it was 2 years ago where this state was like, okay, 5%. Because all those, you know, yada, yada, different states passed that law. So now we either have to have no beer or we have to go to 5%. Right. So that 5% law, I think, helped a lot of brewers to expand and actually make beer that is what it should be. I mean, here, what you've put in front of me is two local breweries. Now they're both in cans, mind you, because you have to do that in Utah. And I think that's something that is kind of that faux pas that we've been talking about right. through that thing where you go on draft, the only thing you're going to find beer-wise is that 5%. Heaven forbid, I think most local breweries nowadays have a canning line or a bottling line to some degree where you can actually see the brewer's flex.
Yeah.
And they can actually make a beer that they want to any degree. I mean, we go and get fresh. I think these are both fresh enough to actually taste and kind of get what people are going for.
But what pisses me off about that is the DABC does a disservice, in my opinion.
By storing it?
By storing it in a warm fucking warehouse.
100%.
And, but I mean, I know what Taylorsville has, the first refrigerated liquor store, and I think there's rumor of one in Saratoga Springs.
Taylorsville?
Yeah, you heard me. Taylorsville, okay. Huh? They have a refrigerated unit inside of it, so they can store cold beer.
Okay.
Which, not all beer should be cold. I understand that. Or served cold, whatever.
Right.
But it should be stored in a fucking warm, especially with Utah being triple digits,
yeah.
And you're telling me it's a barely air-conditioned, sun-beating-down room. It does a disservice for a majority of these beers.
Well, that's why a lot of people are moving to can now, if I'm correct. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's a
nonetheless,
shortage.
But there's but there's a can that's sitting there for 3, 6, 7 months because everyone's going for the High Point Pabst, the High Point Miller Lights, the High Point, whatever, like the ones they're familiar with, instead of these High Points. I don't know why people – there's such great local beer on the DABCs that are sitting there and are still 4 or 5 months old.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I know these brewers. I know what they're doing. I know that this is a great beer, but whoever will buy this old beer will hate it or dislike it and judge that shitty DABC stored beer and judge them – what happened to that beer and be like, yeah, I hate – you know, I hate, you know, with some brewers out there that I hate keto. So I hate proper. I hate all these people who, what?
No.
You can't look me in the eye and say I hate ABC breweries in Utah without giving me a legitimate, there's not one brewery in Utah that I hate.
No, I used to go to the DABC and I used to, whenever I didn't go a lot. I mean, I don't go there and like spend $50 on 12 bottles. I'm more of a social drinker. I don't like sitting at home and just having whatever.
Oh, you're not an alcoholic.
Oh, gotcha. Sorry. Yes, I'm not an alcoholic. But I always just thought it was fun to go to the liquor store and just grab a new bottle of whatever it was off the shelf.
Right? You want
And for a long time, my favorite brewer was Epic, just because I was familiar with their stuff. I met their brewmasters at one point, and I just, to me, it was familiar to me. It was like, I know what I'm getting, and I enjoyed it because, you know, I knew the guys, and it was awesome just to be like, hey, they did this like a few miles from where I am. And it was a little bit more fresh, a little bit more clean, and I was just happy to have something that was local. And that was one thing that was cool to me because it wasn't going and getting that High Point Pabst or High Point Bud. It was going and getting like a, you know, 8%, whatever it might be. Oh, you're making a face.
No, but you're right, though. But for you going out, it's almost going to do a disservice for judging based off of what you get from the DABC.
Yes, 100%.
So, again, I don't like how that's...
Well, we have 4 bottles in front of us. You're pouring a new one right now.
Right.
And 2 out of the 4, there's 2 in cans and 2 in bottles. Now, the bottles that we have are that kind of that darker brown.
Yeah.
And there's actually a reason for that.
That's, yes. To help UV light not penetrate so much.
Exactly. And if anyone has ever been to the DABC liquor stores, you can see the floodlights.
Very bright.
Yes.
Very bright. So going off of that, I just poured you. Uinta Brewing has one called Ghost of the Sago. Barrel-aged Maybach. Finished in the barrel on coffee from Blue Copper, which is also a local roastery here in Utah. And the description is, after resting on oak for the better part of a year, Ghost of Sago awakens to a shot of coffee, roasted specifically for the purpose by Salt Lake specialist Blue Copper. Reveal in notes of honey graham cracker and vanilla that emerge from a subtle bouquet of fruit. My favorite part about Uinta is they have the ABV, IBUs, SRM, and what you should serve it in. This is 8.2, IBUs 24, SRM 5. It is fairly light to be what I thought it, you know, what I thought it'd be. But I love this logo. Like, this is something I could see someone getting tattooed on.
That's fair.
Oh, yeah. Really cool. It's like, what is that? A skull with a tulip almost looking like flower in the middle. And then it's got like a side mask. It's fucking awesome.
It's like you kind of split the face of a,
yeah,
like a goat in half. And then there's like a bull horns in the center.
I don't drink beer in the morning.
Right.
But I smell this and I'm smelling straight coffee. And I want to drink this in the morning. I feel like I would be able to drink this in the morning.
Did you say fruity notes?
No, I did not.
Oh, okay.
It has, in the description, it has notes of honey, graham cracker, and vanilla that emerge from a subtle bouquet of fruit.
Bouquet of fruit. There you go. Okay. That's what you got. So I'm not smelling fruit.
No, I'm smelling nothing but coffee.
Okay. I'm making sure I'm not crazy. Okay, for this reason.
There's something besides, there's something past the coffee I can't really pick up, but I'm going to taste it.
I can definitely tell it was aged.
Hmm.
It's definitely had barrel work done to it for sure.
Hmm. Fascinating. The last time I had this was probably 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And I fell in love with it. And I'm wondering, how old is this one? Bottled in March. God damn it.
3 months.
Still good though.
It's good.
I'm trying. It's got like that weird, I mean, oakiness, obviously, but honestly, it's like a, I don't know. The coffee plays really well with it. I'm impressed. The coffee's held so well.
I get a lot of the barrel. I get a lot of the oak. I get a lot of that aged. For me, the coffee's hiding.
What?
I know.
What?
And I love coffee. Maybe it's just because we're coming off the stout. Excuse me, the Imperial. But
maybe we should have had this one before the Imperial. Maybe. But Mother's Milk looked so inviting.
Yeah, I have them next to each other now, and I'm just probably going to drink both.
What do you think about this one?
I like it. I do.
For those who don't know what a Maybach is, it's basic style in the 13th century, Germanic origin. It's typically a 6.3 to 7.2 ABV, sometimes as high as 12%. And it's a type of, what do you call it? A German Helles. It's a stronger version of a German Helles. A light-colored beer, or a Hellerbach.
Hellerbach.
Yeah.
Malbach, yeah. It's
supposed to be less malty, lighter in color, a drier finish, with a larger hop profile. But I think the coffee, for sure, covers a lot of the hop profile in this one. But I like this one.
I mean, definitely on the bottle, Uinta has that little label on the side that has kind of like the stats. It's got low hops, high malt. The body is a little bit more... The color is definitely... Actually, I love the color of this beer.
Gorgeous. It's a nice, like a coppery brown.
Yeah.
I like that. No, but Denny, going off these craft beers, what would you say to someone living in Utah who doesn't drink beer? What would you say to them about craft beer?
There is... not enough there's too much out there for you not to like something. There is so many different types. There are so many different styles. There are so many different, all the above. I mean, right here, you're having me try one that I've never heard of before. That Malbec. I've heard a lot of Bock and all that stuff, but this one's new to me. And, you know, you get those customers, you get those people who sit at the bar and says, I don't like beer, it's too hoppy. Okay, well, there's dozens of beers out there that have no hop taste to it. There's right. so much beer that's like that fruity, you know. I'm not bashing anyone who likes the fruitier drinks. They're perfectly fine. Trust me, I've had a few myself. I actually went to a margarita, not to get off too far off topic, but I went to a place today where they did a flight of margaritas and how they got away with it. To get back onto the whole like taboo stuff, they give you a shot of tequila and then four glasses of different margaritas.
Fascinating.
And that's how they got away with it.
Okay.
And they were totally awesome margaritas. One was like a blackberry, there was a mango, a strawberry, and then a cucumber that was surprisingly like, it was sweet. It was like a sweet garden taste to it. Like a cucumber cilantro almost. It was really good.
Fascinating.
Anyway, so I don't think that's a valid reason. I don't think coming and sitting anywhere and being like, I don't like beer just because A, B, C, or D, there's too much stuff out there for you not to like. There's going to be something that fits your palate. And even if you find like a foothold, you can grow that. Even if there's like a margin of gray area where you're like, okay, I can see something that I like in this, then you can expound that. Find your interest. Find that thing that you can kind of get on the same level of and then go from there. Because sometimes it is that ignorance that people don't know about. And I know we can say your, you know, behavior changes, but really sometimes behavior changes because there nobody knows anything at all.
Yeah, I can see that. Interesting. I mean, I just like the fact that Utah beer is continually growing.
100%.
And I'm trying really hard to have my mind open to... I made a comment to Derek today. I said, you know what? There's certain styles of beer. Like if you go to the GABF and like there's guidelines that you have to follow on traditional styles of beer. But, for example, I'll take the Utah's Mandarina Kolsch.
Okay.
Not a Kolsch. If you take that and put that in the Kolsch category, would not win. It's not a true Kolsch, mm-hmm. right? Like to the T. But that's a take on a Kolsch and a crafted artesian way that they treated it like a Kolsch, and there was their take on a Kolsch. And that's the beauty behind craft beer. Because I told Derek, I would love to make a true style fucking, you know, Pale Ale or ESB or fucking
German Monk.
Sure, whatever.
They make this for 500 years. Pilsner,
blah, right. Yeah. But if I could make something like that Mandarina Kolsch that is so unique and so delicious, but put the title Kolsch, even though it's not really traditional, like I'm going to go to a 5-star restaurant and I'm going to order the fucking prime rib, and this prime rib has a bit of like secret horseradish, you know, inside of it, or like onion chives inside of it, and it gives it like a little more pop. How dare you fix that prime rib? How dare you change it?
Right.
But it's like, but where's the craft in that? Where's the beauty in kind of tweaking, twisting, and doing our take on how we want to drink something or we want to take something? Because look at the beers we have in front of us, like this Imperial Stout. You can go ahead and make a stout all day, every day. Everyone can make a fucking stout, but there's vanilla stouts, there's pumpkin stouts, there's fucking peppermint stouts, there's all these different flavors of stouts. It's like almost like a soda thing.
Well, that's a craft behind it, yeah.
Yeah, and that's why I need to be less judgy on the craft side of someone's like, that's a fucking pale ale? That's what you're calling a pale ale? You know what I mean?
Right.
Because at the end of the day, if you can make one, great. But if you do your take on it, because for some reason, let's say I do a pale ale. And I'm like, Dini, listen, I'm going to make pale ale and I'm going to put cilantro and a fucking smoky malt in there. You're going to look at me like, what the fuck?
A smoky but pale ale?
It could be something that no one's ever heard of, and it's probably the greatest thing ever. I don't know. But would it win in a category in a super world-renowned competition? Probably not.
Right.
And so that's why I think craft beer to me is still fascinating. It's still like, what the hell? because I'm sitting here learning these traditional like brews, but our takes are our way of how we perceive art.
Right.
Because, I mean, when we were in Denver, we went to that art museum in Denver,
mm-hmm.
and I saw like some French impressionists, you know, English impressionists, blah, 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 Monets, blah, blah. You saw
somebody who duct taped a banana to the wall type situation.
And I'm like, what is this? I hate this. And then I looked at some art, I'm like, okay, that's fucking awesome.
Mm.
But then the person to my right could have hated what I liked, but liked what I hated.
Right.
So that's why I'm trying to look at crap beer like, hey, you know what? And I think Chad Hopkins does it the best where he's like, hey, they're doing the best they can on what they like and they think it is. And like, as long as you can make a beer, whatever it is, you know, fruity, not fruity, and you can fine tune it and you can make it the way you want it to. And like, you know what? At the end of the day, that's my final product and that's what I want it to be.
I mean,
good for you.
That goes against everything. I mean, what is the secret? I mean, I watched a documentary once, and it was a weird documentary. It was about like the Texas, the biggest chili festival in Texas.
Okay.
And one of the rules, and I could be butchering this, it might have not been Texas or the biggest, but it was there is no beans in the chili.
Fascinating.
And it's just like, that's a weird law. What if that's somebody's take on it? What if you just like beans in your chili?
Right.
And I mean, it's the same thing where it's like, there's no magic secret spice out there in the world. There's no magic ingredient that's going to make something that tastes amazing. You could be adding smoky malt and, you know, chives or vanilla or, you know, pastry to kind of that IPA, and it would totally be off brand,
yeah.
But it could be delicious. We're all cooking with the same, you know, ingredients. But when it comes down to it, is that craft side of things and your guys' take on it?
Yeah.
I mean, Gordon Ramsay probably gets his burgers from the same place that the place down the street. But it's Gordon Ramsay. It's his name. It's his take on it. And it's his
specialty. I mean, he may be an asshole, but he has a great palate. You know what I mean? And I can see the hardcore beer judges out there, and I respect it. But at the same time, I can see the people who are trying to be funky and trying to be fresh and trying to be new. And I got to respect it the same. I really got to respect it the same level.
Well, if you don't think outside the box, how are you ever going to grow?
Exactly. And you can take that in real life situations. Like you can look at politics, religion, everything. It's like you got to think outside the box in every situation, not just beer, but like just your train of thought and your way of thinking and your parents' way of thinking and train of thought. There's more out there, dude. There's more out there in so many ways. And that's why I just find it fascinating. I go to work every day and I'm like, holy shit, I'm still learning.
Hmm.
I think the day I stop learning is the day I find a new career or I move on, because I got to keep learning. I have, in my mind, as far as I know, I have one life that I know for sure and I'm living at the moment, and I don't want to stop learning. I really don't. And I want to make sure I keep myself healthy enough to continue to learn, keep my mind bright. I want to be able to be on top of it and like, hey, mentally, emotionally, let's go, because I just want to continue to do all the things, but I need to be able to have a vehicle that can do that, right?
Right.
But anyway, Dean, I appreciate you taking the time today to come down and talk deep today with me. You taught things, beer things, personal things. I hope people find this fascinating today. I can't wait to do this again with you. I can't wait to have someone else come in here. I want to have like a group of people talking about just deep shit. Like, let's talk about life. Let's talk about like deep shit when it comes to craft beer, because craft beer is a great mouthpiece or a great centerfold to continue to have conversations. And like I said, what we said earlier, talk about everything or talk about nothing in front of a beer. And that's so beautiful to me.
It is.
And like I said, Dumbledore, let's take that out, capture it, because that memory, that moment, I feel like more people need to have, not just in front of a beer, but with their own kids, with their own family, with their own parents, with their own friends. And that's what needs to happen. And I feel like beer is a great way, in my mind, to connect the dots in a way, right?
100%.
Is there anything you have for us today, Dini?
No, that's a beautiful note.
Any questions you have for me?
Ooh.
Oh, shit.
What are you going to drink next?
Tonight or tomorrow or today or what's going
on? All the above.
Tonight, I'm going to finish the Uinta beer.
Mm.
And maybe do a little half of the TF, don't tell them. tomorrow, I'm going to the golf course and I'm going to have a lager.
Yeah.
There you go. That's when I go home, I'm going to have water.
You had to stay hydrated with 106 degrees today?
I don't don't know what it is, but yeah.
Yeah.
And my Prius can only handle so much. No, but again, thank you so much for that. And please know that you are always welcome here at the Taste Masters. You are an honorary Taste Master. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. And that should do it for this episode. Until the next craft beverage, my friend.
Cheers. This has been another episode of The Taste Masters. You can find us on Instagram at @the_Tastemasters, on Twitter at The Taste Masters, and on Facebook as The Taste Masters. Like, share, subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends, and thanks for listening.
Produced and recorded at Fuse Audio. Give them a follow at @Fuse_Audio.